13. I got 13 marked.
Yeah.
Okay.
That verse 14, boy, it really jumps out at you, don't it?
Zephaniah 1, 13, we'll read 12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. We went over that last week. Remember? Yeah. 13, therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. Now these minor prophets, they had the burden of preaching judgment.
Right.
And anytime you carry judgment, it's a burden.
Right.
And these prophets, they talk about God's wrath and about his just judgment on this planet.
That's right.
At the second advent. And a lot of Christians in this country don't know this side of God.
That's true.
Right.
They've been so took up with Osteen and Stanley that they don't know this side of God. But God is a balanced being.
That's right.
He gets mad just like you get mad. Except his is holy.
Right.
His is righteous.
Amen.
And his will be right. And his judgment will be right.
That's right.
Okay, their goods shall become a booty. All right, now somebody's going to get their houses, they're going to get their farm, they're going to get their land, they're going to get their food.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God does to Israel because of sin. And think about that a second. If he does, he judges his own people, what's it going to be like for the Gentiles?
Right.
He judges the nation of Israel, what's it going to be like for the rest of the world? It's going to be rough.
Right.
He warned them. He gave them fair warning in Deuteronomy 28. Look at Deuteronomy 28. He gave them fair warning. The Lord doesn't bring judgment without warning you first. Deuteronomy 28. Let's see, 39. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Notice that. Even the worms obey God. He sends the worms and they eat the crops. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. The trees even obey God.
Amen.
Something in it. Not only do the wind and the waves obey, the trees and the worms and the locusts obey.
Oh yeah.
41. Thou shalt begat sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And that generation went in captivity, was in captivity for 7 years. A lot of them lived and died in captivity. But God gave them fair warning. Now, after they get settled in and comfortable, they get everything took away from them. Though the adage there is, the more you acquire, the more you lose.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's going to work.
Yeah.
The same goes for sowing and reaping. These people got rich. They got rich off of poor folk.
Right.
They got rich by stealing from the poor people. They got rich by being crooked. And because they sowed crookedness, then when they reap, it's going to be rough. It's going to be... You always, most time, you reap more than you sow. That's a lot of the law, sow and reap. But then sometimes God's merciful and the crops don't come up. Thank goodness for that. Thank goodness. Sometimes we don't reap everything we sow. Damnation, hell, be worse for upper class people than it will for the underclass.
Right.
Now, both of them going to lose their soul. Rich, you take the crooked rich, multi-billionaires that's got rich wickedly,
mm-hmm.
and the man that down in the gutter, they're both going to lose their soul. They're both going to suffer separation. They're both going to suffer torment, all that. But the upper class are going to lose their nobility. They're going to lose the privileges, they're going to lose their rule, and they're going to lose their rank. I always said it. I see on like a news, or I hear about the people I knew that was never wanted for anything. If they want it, they went and got it. If they need it, they go get it. They had the best of everything and then die and go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought, boy, it's got to be rough for people like that. Used to having the best of everything and then go to the worst, go to a place worse than can even be imagined.
Rich
and be in a situation that's worse than can be imagined.
Rich man there in Luke 16, that's why the roles were turned.
Right.
Yeah.
Much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm. True. They lose their positions. They lose their prestige. You know, just think when a person goes to hell, like, just for an example, a rich man goes to hell, that like a governor.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets to hell, he says, wait a minute, you know who I am?
Right.
That ain't going to matter in hell who
that's
he
right.
is.
That's right.
There was a rich guy in Horse Cave, one of the richest men in the country. A state trooper stopped and pulled him over, and he was drunk. And the first thing he done, when he rolled down the window, he looked at that cop and he said, hey, buddy, he said, do you know who I am? What are you doing pulling me over? Do you know who I am? Hmm. And hell, it ain't going to matter who he is.
That's right.
And it's going to make that a lot worse for a person that's been like that all their life. They go from the best they can have it to the worst they can have it. You know, the underclass, they won't miss or remember the luxuries that they never had. But the rich, they'll remember all that stuff. That's going to add to their damnation. Upper class, they're going to have added mental torment, remembering having the best things. And then when they get to the lake of fire, they're going to be nobodies. Nobodies. And that's going to be hard on a person like that. That's going to add to their agony.
Right.
A person like that. Verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. There it is, the great day of the Lord. When you see that, it's pointing toward the second advent. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth great. Mm. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly.
Mm.
They've been asking for years.
Right.
Even in the Bible, the skeptics said, where is the promise of his coming?
Where is the promise of his coming?
Where is the promise of his coming? I'll tell you where it is. It's in the Bible.
Right.
It's in there plenty.
Oh, yeah.
And the only way you can miss it is not read it, or when you read it, reject it. Amen. That's the only way you can get around it. The Bible's full of it. It's full of it.
You know,
Habakkuk 2:3. You remember we studied Habakkuk 2:3. Habakkuk 2:3. Take a look. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, mm-hmm. but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it.
Right.
Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. That's something, ain't it? Though it tarry, it will not tarry. Sound like a contradiction, don't it? You take a Bible rejector or somebody that finds fault with a book, they'll say there's a contradiction right there. No. It's tarried from our standpoint. The way we look at time, it's been tarrying a long time. But by God's standards, it's just been a couple days, maybe 3 days.
Yeah, the Bible talks about the carnal mind. And men have tried to figure God out. They've tried to put him, like them. He ought to do this, he ought to do that.
Romans 1.
But God's not like man at all. And at the appointed time, like you said, buddy, he will come.
And then when it's time to come, it won't tarry. When it's time to come, it won't tarry anymore. It'll happen when it's time. The cry is the same cry, verse 10 we talked about, that war cry that the Lord's going to let out when he comes down the second advent. The mighty man, strong, powerful, rich men, they won't be saved. Rich as a damn. So, cry there bitterly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've heard me teach, and you ought to have that down pat, but now, many times as we went over that, in the tribulation, you have to take the mark before you can use your money.
Right.
If you don't take the mark, you can't buy or sell. Won't matter how much money you got in the bank. Won't matter how many stocks and bonds you've got. If you don't take the mark, you can't use them. And if you take the mark, you are automatically damned. There's no way around it. So that's why the rich man's going to be in trouble at the second advent.
Talking about the coming of the Lord, there, Brother Mike, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come,
mm-hmm.
and will not tarry. There's a time, buddy. He's going to step out on the scene, and the world is going to drink of his cup. He drunk their cup,
True.
They're going to drink his cup of the wrath of God. Yes, and it's not going to be a happy time.
Boy, it's been filling up for a long time.
Yeah.
Every time the Lord gets angry at something, he just pours it in his cup.
Mm.
He don't pour it out yet.
Cup of indignation.
Pour it in his cup, and then when that cup gets full, then he's going to pour it out. The bargaining and dealing of the rich folk, their buying powers won't work. You know, no doubt at the second advent, at the judgment of nations, when these people stand up, no doubt they're going to try to bargain with the Lord. They've got that mindset that they can do anything, buy anything, get anything with their money. No doubt they're going to try to bargain with God to keep them going into the lake of fire. But the only way you can settle things up with the Lord is do it right now.
That's right.
The only way you can get it settled is now.
That's right.
Too late after you die, and it's too late after the rapture. I know, I guess you people probably, we may have went over this before, but after the rapture, a person that's heard the gospel, they're out of luck.
Give them a reprobate mind, yeah.
They're done. They can't get saved. Once they've heard the plain truth of the gospel and been confronted with the gospel, and if they reject Christ and the rapture takes place, they're done. There's no hope for them. It has to be done now. It has to be done before the rapture or before death. Verse 15, the day is a day of wrath. The day is the day of wrath.
Mm.
It's going to be rough. A day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Boy, folks don't like to hear that. People don't want to face up to that stuff. That's going to be rough. It's a day of wrath. No salvation. You know, when the Lord comes back second advent, it's a killing spree. I mean, it's judgment. Nobody's going to be saved out of that if he gets down here and starts that war with this world system. They're going to be saved before. They'll go out and rapture before. Rapture right before the second advent of those Jewish, the ones that's left of the 144,000 and of the Gentiles. But the rest of it, man, it's going to be rough.
I still believe God had his hand in those twin tires falling. Just the way of it, the simpleness of it, and the effect that it had upon America. And I believe he sent a message through that America, ready to see the writing on the wall. I mean, all through the Bible, God talked about he put a hedge up.
There's a writing on the wall, but it's probably going to be carried out.
And then he warned, he said, I'll take the hedge away. And when the hedge is gone, you're vulnerable.
And you can, this national revival stuff ain't going to happen. You forget it.
Right.
It ain't going to happen. The day of wrath, that's not your best life now. No possibility thinking, sure. Your best life now, Osteen.
Hmm.
No prosperity gospel, the charismatics. I mean, it's over, folks. When that thing sets in, it's over.
That's right.
It's over. It'll be hell on wheels when the Lord comes back to second advent. When tribulation sets in, people ain't going to believe it, what's going to take place.
That's right.
There's a big difference between the first and second coming. You know that. You know that. First time the Lamb came, he humbled himself.
Right.
He was the Lamb of God.
Servant.
To take away the sins of the world. He made himself a servant. He washed dirty feet.
Right.
He cuddled little children. He called his disciples friends,
right.
John 15:15. He came because God so loved the world. And boy, I'm glad he did.
Right.
Because if it hadn't been for that, we wouldn't have a chance.
That's right, Brother Mike.
We wouldn't have a chance.
That's
I'm
right.
glad the Lord has a side that loves us and died for us and paid for our sins on Calvary. That was the first time he came. He was reviled and reviled not again.
That's right.
That word reviled means spoken against, rough, reviled, filthy language. They talk dirty to the Son of God.
Yeah.
Treating him like dirt. First coming. And he done all that so you could have a home in heaven.
That's right.
He was bruised, he was beaten, he was finally killed. But now the second time he comes,
King of Kings.
Look out. It's going to be a whole different story. They killed him the first time he came. when he comes second time, he's going to do the killing. He's going to come in wrath, and I mean he's going to do some killing.
As a flame of fire.
One place, one battle of our 200 million dead. Imagine that. That's almost the population of the United States of America. 200 million dead. They ain't going to be able to bury all of them. There's going to be so many. I mean, they kill him, he's going to kill them. He come as a lamb the first time, he's coming as a lion the second time.
Amen.
He takes vengeance on this planet. The Bible says he's going to dip his feet in his enemy's blood.
That's right.
Think about that a minute. He's going to dip his feet in their blood. Look at Psalm 68:22-23.
Revelation.
This is the other side of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is the other nature of God. And it's holy and it's right. Psalm 68:22-23. Yes, sir. I'm glad I'm on his side.
That's right.
And you know, people who are not on his side don't like to hear this stuff.
Ready to give her the program.
Psalm 68:22-23. What I'm looking for. Somebody read it.
The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies and the tongue of thy dogs in the same.
There it is. That's the other side of God's wrath. That's his wrath. That's not his love. That's his righteous judgments. All right, verse 16. A day of the trumpet. An alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Trumpets, Jeremiah 4:19-20. That thing was used for a warning.
Chofar or something.
Jeremiah 4:19. My bowels. I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. This guy's scared, whoever was writing this. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction. The Lord's got a way of saying things, hasn't he? Destruction on destruction. Destruction's bad enough.
Right.
But destruction on top of destruction. He's cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. In a moment. A prophecy in 713 B.C. and 630 B.C. telling that before the Lord comes back, that some high towers are going to fall.
That's right.
High towers are going to fall.
Build them up.
The twin towers are a preview of worse things to come.
That's right.
You know, twin towers shocked people and staggered the nation just for a little while. They're over it now.
Yeah, people say something like, how could God let this happen?
Yeah.
They do.
It's how could God let this happen?
Yeah.
Now, brother, the day that happened, I was out in the yard mowing. Something coming over me. I shut the mower off, walked inside, turned on the TV, and I've never done that before.
Yeah.
And there it was. One of them was falling.
Yeah.
You ought to see the judgment there. Brother Donovan, Brian Donovan, he street preaches in New York some. And he said that before the Twin Towers fell, he said he'd be up there a street preaching. He said people would walk by him, spit at him, spit on his feet, and, you know, mock him, make fun of him. And he said after the towers fell, he was up there, and he said they listened. He said they'd gather around, they'd listen.
Right.
And then he said about a year later after the towers fell, he was back up there again. He lived in New York, from New York. He said they were spitting again about a year later.
Got
so
over,
they're over.
Huh?
Got over it pretty quick.
Here's Dillian.
Real quick to forget. The Twin Towers are a preview of worse things to come. You know, that was bad. That was bad, but that's nothing to what's coming.
That's right.
I mean, that's nothing to what's coming. What's coming is going to make that look like a Sunday school picnic.
You know, that verse also talks about, you know, safety. Those fenced cities, they think, you know, they've got safety, they've got army, they've got military, they've got sophistication, they've got those drones, they've got, you know, things that everybody wants. Somebody going to push a button, ain't going to matter.
Started out walls and high towers, watchtowers, and that worked good until they invented the airplane. And then after the airplane, that took care of the walls and the towers. And now they've got what they call it, watching the skies out in space.
Oh, satellite.
Skynet. Sky something. They're always searching up in the sky and out in the outer space, keeping watch for rockets and stuff. That stuff ain't gonna matter.
That's right.
That won't matter a bit when it's time for judgment. Twin Towers was a preview of worse things to come. Now this word in here, alarm. The day of trumpet, the day of alarm. That's fear over all the land.
That's right.
All the land was on alert. All the land was on edge. But you know the problem is they got alarmed too late. They got alarmed too late. The time to be afraid, the time to have fear is right now. Fear and concern needs to be done now. While you can escape. Once it sets in, it's too late. People always wait till the tragedy takes place before the fear comes in.
Yeah, I'd like to read this right now about the alarm. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make my words known unto you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel. With none of my reproof.
Yeah.
I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. What a statement.
Proverbs.
Got Proverbs chapter 1 there, yeah.
Proverbs 1. And you wonder why the Lord's mad. They wonder why he's coming back in judgment. He warns and he warns and he warns, and he's long-suffering, merciful, puts up with people over and over and over, and they treat him like dirt. And then when he comes back, he's mad. He's coming back mad. And he's got a good reason to be mad.
What?
And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men. Verse 17. The Lord and I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. There's a problem, folks.
That's right.
Sin. Why did my boy get killed in the car wreck? Sin.
That's right.
You know, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, that boy would live forever. We'd live forever. In bodies like we got right now, we'd never get old, never die. Sin's the problem. Why did it happen? Sin. Anytime you hear somebody say, why did that happen? You remember three-letter words. Sin. That's why it happened.
You know, God, he warned Cain before he ever killed his brother.
True.
He said, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? Question mark.
True.
And if thou doest not well, he said, sin.
Life
at the door. It's just waiting for opportunity.
True. All right, that's it. And I will bring distress upon men. They shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as dung. Because they sinned against the Lord, they're going to have distress. That word distress means violence.
Man's heart's failing for fear.
Extreme anguish of body and mind. And it also means regret and sorrow. You know, you regret things now. Everybody has regrets.
Yeah.
But after this judgment and the casting of the lake of fire, they're going to have eternal regret. Eternal regret. Regretting that they rejected Christ forever.
Mm.
That's going to add to the torment, I believe. He gets satisfaction from all the sin and the wickedness that he's put up with. Talking about God. He's going to get satisfied for all the stuff he's putting up with.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to do it. Think about this a minute, church. Think what God watches every day. Think what he watches. Think what he hears day and night.
Cries of innocence. Crying to be avenged.
Think about it now. I mean, I guarantee you, if we could move up and stand beside God on his throne in this body, and he let us look out over this world, our minds would probably go insane.
We'd get mad.
Go nuts. I mean, seeing the stuff he sees,
right.
We couldn't handle it. And it's no wonder his wrath is building up every day. And one day, when, like we was talking a while ago, when that cup gets full, he's going to pour it out. Look at Revelation 16, 19. He's going to pour it out.
Yeah.
Nathan gave David that parable. He got big and mad. He said, "You're the one." That's the way we'd be.
Yeah. Revelation 16:19, talking about God pouring out his wrath. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations failed. Now that's the cities of the nations on this planet, all of them. And great Babylon, that's, you know who the Babylon, Babylon is.
Oh, yeah.
Over there, look at verse 5. Mr. Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Chapter 17 of Revelation is the church of Rome.
That's right.
Chapter 18 is the city of Rome. Or vice versa. It's Rome. It's the Roman Catholic organization.
That's right.
It's the Roman Catholic system. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. That's that cup we was talking about a while ago. Look at Jeremiah 7:20.
Everyone's talking about his wrath. It says, "And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent." If I remember right, that's around 300 or 600 pounds, something like that.
Imagine hailstones that big falling.
The men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great.
It'll make the Twin Towers look like a Sunday school picnic when that stuff sets in.
That's true.
This planet hadn't seen anything yet. Jeremiah 7:20. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall be and not be quenched." You wonder why the beast and the trees and the fruit. Well, the fruit and the trees, he's going to do that because of a famine. That's going to cause a famine. And like I said a while back, it's just more collateral damage.
Yeah.
When that thing takes place. Jeremiah 44:6. Makes you glad you're saved.
You better believe it, brother. I'm glad I'm saved.
Hearing that mess. Jeremiah 44:6. Of course, if you believe Rosenthal, you might have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
He says that the church will go through half tribulation.
Yeah.
But he's wrong.
"We're not been appointed under wrath."
Jeremiah 44:6. Right, we're not appointed under wrath. Jeremiah 44:6. "Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth." This is God talking. It's not a man talking. This is God speaking. "Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as this day." Lamentations 2:4.
Mm-hmm.
Lamentations is a rough book. Rough book. Lamentations 2:4. "He had bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary and slew all that were present to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out his fury like fire." That's the other side of God that you won't hear much about except right here. That's about the only place you're going to hear about that side of God. All right, let's see if we're going to see if we can finish this. Let's see if we're on verse 17. See how much I like verse 17. I have to hurry to get through it.
You know, it says, "I'll bring distress upon men And Luke 21, again, talking along these same lines, talks about distress of nations, fearful sights, men's hearts failing them for fear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just all fits together. So there'll be great distress in the land, wrath upon the people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword. On the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. And the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven and verse shall be shaken.
The Bible's full of warning.
Oh, yeah.
The Lord, the Bible, and the Lord's been warning people of this and warning people of this and warning people of this. And most people could care less. The blind men it talks about here. Look at Proverbs 4:19. I'll just look at one reference. I'm going to try to get through this. Proverbs 4:19. They're going to stumble around like blind men.
Yep.
A lot of the darkness, when that darkness sets in, that it talks about, like the darkness came over Egypt. Proverbs 4:19.
Mm-hmm. Well, the wicked.
The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he hath he established the heavens. I'm in the wrong. It's 4:19 instead of 3:19.
Yeah.
The way of the wicked is as darkness.
Mm-hmm.
They know not what they stumble. They know not at what they stumble. You know, every man and woman on this planet right now, every man, woman, boy, and girl that has rejected Jesus Christ, they're in darkness.
That's right.
They're in spiritual darkness. The Bible says the god of this world has blinded their minds.
That's right.
They're in spiritual darkness. Ephesians 4:18 talks about the spiritual darkness. Only way they can get out from underneath that darkness is
that lighting.
Reading or hearing the Word of God.
That's right.
Hearing the Word of God preached, hearing it taught, or reading it. That's the only way they can get out from under. In the tribulation, there'll be a physical darkness. It'll be pitch black darkness with all hell breaking loose. You think about that a minute. They said in Egypt, when that darkness came over Egypt,
it didn't even move.
It was no darkness like it came over. They could, what did they say, feel it?
Yeah, it didn't even move.
Feel it.
They was afraid even to move.
Well, that's going to happen again in the tribulation. You imagine being in that kind of darkness. And then them things out of the pit, scorpions, or them things with them monsters come out of there. You imagine them things tormenting you in pitch black darkness. You imagine hailstones falling in pitch black darkness. You imagine an earthquake in pitch black darkness. I mean, all this stuff, it's going to be rough. And you know, most people read Revelation, they say, well, this happened. Then, if that's over, this happens. Then, after that's over, this happens. That ain't the way it's going to be. A lot of that stuff's going on at the same time. It's all going on at the same time. Egypt talked about that darkness. Exodus 10:21. I think that's where it talks about that darkness. They could feel it. Exodus 10:21. I won't go over that. We're running out of time. Now think about this a minute. Imagine no electricity, no moon, no stars, sun darkened, all the lights turned out. Think about that a minute. You ever been out in the woods at night where there's no artificial light?
Yeah.
On a dark moon and cloudy where you couldn't see the stars? It is dark. It's dark. I fished a tournament last night. I fished at 2 o'clock this morning. Got in bed at 3:30 this morning. We had a little arc of a moon last night, and that thing gave a bunch of light.
Yeah.
That moon went down behind the trees about 1:30 this morning, and it got so dark out there, I couldn't even see the bottom of my boat. I had to turn a light on to get around in the boat. I mean, it was pitch dark. And this darkness coming on in the tribulation is going to be worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be worse than that. It'll be pitch dark. No electricity, no moon, no stars.
Mm.
And you know, you notice the darkness magnifies your fear more? I mean, what was it or what is it? Something in the pitch dark, and you hear him, what is it? It magnifies your fear more. Like it ain't going to be bad enough.
Right.
But the darkness is going to magnify the fear even more. Talk blood and flesh. Lying and decaying on top of the ground with no burial in that day, after that battle. We talked about this a while back. The blood's going to flow approximately 5 feet deep at Armageddon. 2 miles wide and 171 miles long.
Mm.
That's the size of from Kentucky Dam Village down through Pickwick Dam System down into Alabama. That's the size of Kentucky River, Kentucky Lake, all the way down to Alabama. Huh?
5 foot deep and
5 feet, 2 miles wide, 171 miles long. That's how much that river blood is going to roll. Psalm 63, 1 through 3. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. It didn't sound right there. It didn't sound like that went on that blood. What did I say? I said Isaiah 63, not Psalm 63.
You meant to say.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say Isaiah or did I say Psalm?
You said Psalms.
Psalms, yeah.
Okay. Let's try 63. Isaiah 63.
Yeah.
I didn't think that went along with that river of blood.
It's still good, brother. Still good.
Isaiah 63, 1 through 3. Who it is, yeah, there you go, this is it. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Who is this? I know who it is. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thine garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. It's Jesus Christ talking.
Day of vengeance in my heart.
Day of vengeance. Day of vengeance. Dust and dung. Their bodies come from dirt, and their bodies are going to go back to the dirt.
Right.
For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. You know, a man's body after he dies becomes worm food.
That's right.
That's what that's talking about here. In verse 17, that's what it's talking about. And their flesh as the dung. You say, well, how do they get dung out of that? Worms eat your flesh, and then the flesh becomes dumb. The Bible's crude, ain't it? Mm-hmm. It's to the point, ain't it? It wants you to see what's going on. It don't beat around the bush about it. It tells it just like it is.
That's right.
Man's body becomes worm food, and then it's turned into dumb. What's a person worth? 100 pounds of dust and dumb. That's about it. 150 pounds for some of us, 170 for some of us, 120 for some of us. Dust and dung. That's what it's worth. Romans 12:3. Now we're going to have to quit. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Mm-hmm. You get to thinking real high of yourself.
Right.
Just remember, dust and dung.
Mm-hmm.
Dust and dung. They can seal you up in a nice vault, seal that thing in the ground. What did Job say? My skin worm.
Right.
You got parasites in your body right
that's
now.
That's right. You're
and
right.
That's why that body's going to go back to dust. I don't care how much money they put in it. I don't care how nice a vault they buy.
That's right.
The body's going to go back to dust. Skin worms will see to it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get around this book. You can't beat it.
That's right, brother Mike.
You can't beat it.
You're right. They'll line up with it.
Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Real quick, let's look at one more reference. Job 7, 5. I'll read that. Get that. We'll see what Job says.
Flesh is clothed with worms.
Job 7, 5. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. Verse 17, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? So that puts it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody thinks they're big stuff, God says, you better think, what is man? Another place the Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why would God even give us, why would he even give us a thought?
Right.
Okay. But I'm glad I'm on his side.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm glad I ain't going into that tribulation.
Amen.
You miss me.
Amen, brother. That's good. Every word of God is good. Every promise of God is sure.